It's the Red Tag sales event at Jeff Weiler Chevrolet of Columbus. Look for the red tags and unlock unbeatable discounts on new and pre-owned Chevys. 0% APR on select new Chevrolet for well-qualified buyers. From the rugged Silverado to the sleek Malibu, every tag means savings. Financing made easy. We'll pay off your trade no matter what you owe. Stop by Jeff Weiler Chevrolet on Gender Road or shop anytime at jeffweilercolumbus.com. That's jeffweilercolumbus.com.
Bills piling up? CME can help you wrap up your debt into one simple, manageable signature loan with rates starting as low as 8.75% APR. Instead of juggling stacks of statements, let CME help you unwrap peace of mind this season. Federally insured by NCUA, APR means annual percentage rate. Terms apply. Subject to membership eligibility and approval. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Just like Bad Bunny is a perfect pick.
I can take it or leave it.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Global Goodell over here.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You nailed it. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on a football Friday? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope you and yours are doing well. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, everywhere you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BUBBL, Red Circle, any place that hosts podcasts, you can find the show. We are live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios on a Friday. Derek Daniel hiring people left and right like a good neighbor. Derek Daniel is there. I just went upstairs and met some of the new insurance producers. You can call them today at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. You've got Red, Bobby, and Lane now. Of course, we always lead off with Red because he's the OG. But Red, Bobby, and Lane will take your phone call at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there for all of your home life auto insurance needs. You can call him today and see how much money they can save you, give you some local coverage, coverage you can count on. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. We are live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios with Mason Woods and Theo Fernandez. You can follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez. Did I double underscore you today?
You got
I
hope. Correct.
There
you
we
got
go.
It wrong Monday, but we're back.
I don't even think I tagged anybody Monday, to be honest with you. So we're back with Theo Fernandez and Mason Woods, MA Woods underscore on the Twitter machine, covering all things recruiting for the Crimson Tide, Missouri Tigers, Vanderbilt Commodores, and the Boston College Eagles.
Boston College got a commit yesterday.
Go Eagles.
Yeah, 2027 athlete. From Massachusetts, local guy, Zaire Mitchell.
You know Bill O'Brien trying to lock down the state.
Not a lot of things are going well up there right now, but damn it, he's done a good job of doing that.
Right. He said, if you're in Massachusetts and you can play football, you ain't leaving.
You will be coming to Boston College.
Only when that happened in the state of Massachusetts yesterday. Cam Schwitler striking out the Red Sox.
But wasn't it in New York?
Yeah, but it's okay. They're back in Massachusetts now.
Right. Go ahead. Keep going.
I have to go on my
thing. Go ahead.
Incredible. This Yankees team is special. This Yankees team is going to win number 28 this year. There's not a single team in the league besides possibly the Dodgers that can stop us.
Nobody's beating the Dodgers.
You know it's football Friday, right?
I had to get that out of the way. Go Yankees.
Do people actually think they're beating the Dodgers? Nobody's beating them.
We're beating them.
The Dodgers will choke.
Yes, they will.
Okay.
Don't they usually? Theo?
They're choking.
They usually do.
They're going to
choke. They usually have like a super high payroll and then they choke.
They will choke.
I thought that was the Yankee shtick.
Well, both of them. Yeah. Eastern, both coasts here. So we're excited for Football Friday. We're only going to talk about Macaulay Baylor the entire time. Big Friday night rivalry.
I got some takes to get off about this.
Oh, yeah. We're excited. Class of 08 in the house. Theo Fernandez doesn't know anything about Macaulay. The greatest high school rivalry in America happens tonight on Dodds Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee. What are your takes? Go ahead. I'll get out of the way.
I watched the rap video. It was done well. I'll give him that.
High production quality.
It was done very, very well. It was done well. Boy, was that cheesy. That was so corny.
They're high schoolers. Of course it is.
I don't think that... A lot of the people that were actually doing the singing and things did not look to be high school age.
The female is not high school age.
Okay.
The female is a class of 16.
It felt like there was, I don't know, it felt like there was better avenues to go than remixing a song about New York to Chattanooga.
Yeah, well, they started, this is the 10-year anniversary of these videos.
Maybe I need to see, is it always this song, or is it a new song?
No, okay. They've kept it mixed up over the 10 years.
They lost me a bit.
That's fine.
You know, that song isn't, I mean, I don't even, do kids in high school even know that song? Like, that song's 15 years old. Like, you know, that song was when you were, it was when I was a kid. Like, I don't know. It was cool. Don't get me wrong. It's the production quality, everything. I can appreciate that. The shots were, it was shot really well. I hope that it was a bunch of students involved with the production and things. That's super cool. But yeah, no, they lost me with the instrumental. As soon as I heard it, it was like, oh, they're going to do it. And then the hook hit and I was like, oh.
So it's 10 years of those videos.
Much better than the Baylor hype video that I saw, though. That was kind of corny as well.
It was corny, but I'll tell you this. As just a straight-up football guy, I hate it. I hate it because I just like, it's like the game is hot enough. The heat is very, 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 very high. Yeah. The tension is as high as any football environment as I've ever been in. And so you're going to add to the tension by singing a diss song about the team the week before.
With admittedly, some pretty like,
yeah,
pretty aggressively like stabbing lines at Bailey, you know, not like not really playing fun and like being playful about it. It was like, hey, we're actually taking some shots here.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Last year's state championship game, McCauley falls down 21-0 to Baylor. McCauley comes back and wins the state championship. You've got guys and girls in the video with the 21-0 kind of come. You know, it was.
I will be pulling for McCauley. That's they got a Vandy guy on there, Keyshawn Tabuteau, good wide receiver.
There we go, Keyshawn. That's my man.
Having a good year, too.
Keyshawn Tabuteau, a member of the Long Blue Line, and it continues tonight. But I do like, from a football standpoint, I like the Baylor video more because it's just Baylor football highlights. And it's just, yeah, we're going to go get
them. I like the sentiment of Baylor's video more than the sentiment of the other one, but the other one was done better than Baylor's was. Ooh,
so big time rivalry. Do you know anything about high school rivalries in New York?
Do they play high school football there?
We actually, my old high school had a very big high school rivalry, Turkey Bowl every day.
Oh, I love
the morning going back to the 1890s. It was the only game that I ever came across in my 4 years in New York that could even be considered close to a rivalry. Like, just the majority of schools, it just doesn't really exist all that well. But man, that Turkey Bowl, that was an awesome game. Xavier, Fordham Prep. Beautiful matchup and a fun game to get to go. I was just on the sidelines broadcasting every year, but it was a great time.
Yeah, that was something else, man. You see Tony Vitello talking about McCauley Baylor. Tony Vitello is like, I guess Tennessee baseball is doing an exhibition in Chattanooga this weekend. And he's all like, yeah, we planned it to be Baylor McCauley weekend. And so, because we know how big it is, it's like, yeah, it's going to be massive tonight. Over 20 players in this matchup with Division I offers, multiple state championships over the last handful of years. I think between McCauley and Baylor, you're up to 6-7 over the last 8-9 years. So,
I don't remember what the exact number is, but I know I figured it out for McCauley, and it was, you know, however many in the last. It's wildly impressive.
That just makes me jealous, man. Like, we do not have high school sports anywhere near that caliber up in New York, anywhere up north, really.
Ooh, yeah, so I do wish I were in Chattanooga tonight. I will not be. My father said, Joe, just wait and come watch them when they meet again in the playoffs. And I'm like, all right. Sounds good. That'd be great. Never lost over here in this corner. So it's very, very exciting right there. But we want to talk about Alabama football and college football. And I want to talk about, what do I want to talk about? I want to talk about Theo Vaughn. I want to talk about Mac Jones last night. Mason Woods opened the week apologizing to Ty Simpson. I think I might need to close the week apologizing to Mac Jones.
You don't have to.
The toughness, the heart. The grit.
You don't have to. You watched that game as well as I did. It's still not there.
Did he see took so many hits.
Every time he takes.
He took so many hits.
He makes the worst faces when he gets hit.
In the third quarter. In the third quarter, I thought, oh my gosh, you just busted every.
I wanted to see Adrian Martinez so bad.
Every ligament in your leg.
You know, just that's the third string.
Yeah.
That would have been pure comedy.
Well, I thought that at least when the 49ers got the ball back late in the game after the stupid fumble, right? So they get the ball back on the goal line with like a minute and change, and their first play is a quarterback sneak. I thought that might have been a good chance to put Adrian Martinez in there just to like stand a fresh body.
I really enjoyed Max. I think it was a third, and I want to say it was a third and one little QB sneak they ran. He tried to kind of bounce it to the left. And then just fell too early and didn't get the yard he needed. Was good. I'm not buying the Mac Jones toughness narrative on this game. I'm gonna sit here and act like I just tore every ligament in my knee and then get up and jog off the field 15 seconds later. I'm just not buying it from Mac Jones. Good on you for throwing a bunch of passes under 10 yards and, you know, letting your coach his ass off to win this game. I'm not buying it.
Okay, look, if you
lean on Shanahan, go ahead.
You cowards aren't willing to say it. I'll step up and say it. I think we're going to have a QB controversy in San Francisco.
I'll agree with you there.
I think that
they paid Brock all that money. They're not benching Brock.
You look back to 2021 and you look to when the Niners had that third pick and who did Shanahan want in that draft?
Mac Jones.
He wanted Mac Jones. Mac Jones is the perfect Kyle Shanahan QB.
He got Mac Jones and Brock Purdy.
He has Mac Jones right now. He's winning games with Mac Jones. Brock Purdy's turning the ball over three times in the loss to Jacksonville.
They've got no line.
No line at all. Zero rushing touchdowns for the 49ers through these 5 weeks. Like they said that 5 games in and you haven't scored a rushing touchdown.
They can't block anybody.
They can't block anybody. And Mac Jones is the victim right now. Brock Purdy was the first victim. Mac Jones is the next victim. But Mac stood in there and fought. 33-49, 342. 342 and two touchdowns. Almost every single yard going to Kendrick Bourne. You know, we've got
about 60 on the first pass play of the game.
We've got friends. I've got friends that were complaining all week long. I need wide receiver. I need a wide receiver in my fantasy football. I need wide receiver. Your boy doesn't need wide receivers. I'm loaded. And so I'm watching the game, and midway through the game, I said, I think if I needed a wide receiver, I might have picked up Kendrick Bourne. So he just a needle three or four that are playing like scrubs at wide receiver, and he's already putting up 20, 25 points.
Yeah. Go ahead. I don't care.
Nah, I mean, like, I think that Shanahan, we know he's going to get great QB production, get just about the most out of whoever's under center.
I don't disagree with that.
Man, I think they're going to be regretting giving, you know, this – $265 million to Brock Purdy.
I don't disagree with that either. But they did give it to him.
You gave it to him.
And I just don't think that Mac Jones is any remarkable improvement.
No, they're the same quarterback.
Exactly. So you're not going to bench one for the other when you're paying one of them like you are.
Mac Jones, I saw this tweet the other day. Mac Jones knows that if he wins this game, he's going to get lifelong bridge status. He's going to make lots of money with, we need a bridge quarterback. Let's pay Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, like, worst nightmare this year is Daniel Jones being as good as he is because he had Colts written all over him next
year.
Yes,
you're right.
So do you guys not see any world in which, you know, he just turned 27, like where Mac Jones, someone wants to bring him in to try and lead them to playoff runs in the future?
No, I see worlds where one of y'all look up his contract right here, because I bet she's on a 1 year deal. My vision for Mac is, oh man, he's a good quarterback. Yeah, two year
$8 million deal.
Right. So
the Bengals aren't going to go get him because they don't want to pay anybody.
Well, you're going to end up like in a world where, let's see, the Jets end up opting for, you know. The Jets are smart and take Reuben Bain, number one overall, right? Then we're gonna pay Mac Jones to be our quarterback for 2 years to bridge us to the next quarterback, right? Or Jets end up taking your Mendoza kid from Indiana, but, well, you know what? We don't want to throw him right out there yet. We're just gonna get
Mac Jones for 2 years. Who was the neck? Big long neck. Big long neck for the Bears signed with the year we drafted Mitchell Trubisky. Oh my gosh,
Mike Glennon.
Yeah. Yes. Right. So the Bears signed Mike Glennon 1 year, $12 million. He lasts 4 games, and then we throw Mitchell Trubisky back out there. That's the life I see for Matt. But he's going to be able to have this life cycle for 10 more years.
I wouldn't be shocked if some team gives him a chance to come in and like be their legitimate starter this offseason. I think he's got one more chance of, hey, we're bringing in Mac Jones. We were impressed with what we saw. He's going to be our guy, and then we'll see how it goes. And then he becomes that. All right, he's a career bridge guy. I feel like he's still got one more chance in there.
Like, look at, like, nobody thought Geno Smith would ever be making $35 million a year.
He probably shouldn't be.
The Raiders are not smart.
What's it take to make that kind of leap? You know,
the Raiders are not smart.
Because I think
you need to go find a franchise that is not smart.
I mean, I do think Mac Jones has made himself money. Like he'll the next contract he signs will be larger than $4 million a year. He'll probably get close to 12. But I just don't see him becoming a 30-35 guy.
Like, I think Daniel Jones could be on his way to getting that kind of deal.
Yeah, oh, for sure. With the Colts. You
know, that Sam Darnold type contract. I'm curious if Mac Jones can pull it off too.
I mean, he'd have to play the rest of the season.
Mm. Who's playing for the Seahawks?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. The Cardinals, if they get rid of Kyler Murray.
I got Kyler Murray tied up, don't they?
Yeah. So, like, I don't really see a landing place for him.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, The Dolphins
after the Dolphins, Tua admits that he's got CTE.
I think the Bengals are, but they don't want to pay anybody because they're too cheap to pay anybody. But like, they are a decent quarterback away from being a good football team. Mm-hmm.
The Saints as they wait on Arch Manning.
But I think they like Rattler. Like,
that's not smart.
Gritty enough to just
that is not
be, you know, this nebulous. Stuff. Hey, he's going to keep our fans engaged, but he's not really going to put us in a position to where we'll have a crappy draft pick.
The best 0-10 QB in NFL.
That's exactly right.
Not smart at all.
I think I would definitely just ride with Rattler for this year. You go get your top five pick because you throw Mac Jones in there, he might win you 6-7 games, and then you're picking 14, and you're in hell. That's the worst place to be.
Welcome to purgatory.
Exactly. The Titans went 9-7 4 years in a row. I know all about it.
Well, great job, Mac. You impressed me last night, and I want to apologize for a lot of the negativity that I have thrown his way over the last 7 years or so, because I was actually moved by your toughness last night. Mason may not think you're tough, but I do.
I still don't think he's tough.
And that obviously,
suit was very untough.
The suit was awesome to me. Can I get one of those? I would definitely be wearing one.
I see you rocking one of those.
Love it. And everybody that cut me eyes, that was like, "That's an ugly suit." I'd be like, "Yeah, you know it is," and own it. I thought it was a great looking suit. Well, we want to keep going, right? And yesterday afternoon, ESPN announces that Theo Vaughn is going to be the ESPN guest picker for tomorrow's College Game Day. And the Bama internet world melts absolutely down. Absolute meltdown. Reminded me of the Bad Bunny selection. Lots of people melting down over Bad Bunny being chosen as the Super Bowl halftime performer. We'll start real quick with Bad Bunny. Guys, think about this thing for a second.
Global Goodell strikes again.
Exactly.
I hate it. It's an American sport.
It's a TV show.
But I mean, I am.
Global Goodell sees the Champions League final and sees, holy smokes, you got viewers from all over the world watching these two European squads play soccer.
We're 150 years away from that happening.
Well, like, you got to start it somehow. Global Goodell says we want to have all.
Roger, you'll never see it in your life.
He says we want to have 16 international games a year. We want to send every team international.
We want to screw every team for 1 week a year.
That's the worst. Because Bears could play their international game in Canada. Right over the border in Canada?
Like either give us a damn team over there or quit teasing it. Yeah. You know, do it or don't. Don't do this like, one foot in, one foot out. Oh, we're still like either just do it or don't.
Well, why didn't they pick Carrie Underwood to do the halftime show?
Now that I am over
George
that.
George Strait should be out there, man.
Over that, I don't.
George Strait needs to be out.
Bad Bunny is whatever. He is American, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's Puerto Rican. Like that is a part of America. It's not that deep, folks.
He's a global superstar.
I don't like it from that perspective of, hey, we want to get the guy that's really big globally to do the Super Bowl. Like, you're not going to get 100 or whatever.
Well, here's
you're
the
not
question.
Gonna match the Champion League. You're not gonna do it.
Here's the question. The three of us are watching the Super Bowl anyways, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You could say, you know, I don't pick the weirdest artist in your brain. Pick the worst artist in your brain. We're still watching the Super Bowl. Maybe I get up and go to the bathroom during that time when the worst artist, the weirdest artist is out there. Maybe I'm having a burger or whatever, but I'm watching the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Bad Bunny will get people who is not watching the Super Bowl to at least
shatter the record.
Exactly.
I don't think he will.
I
don't think anybody cares that much. It's a 10-minute performance TV.
People love it. Love him.
I'd bet Justin out any amount of money on this shattering the record.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't think so.
Because the Chicago Bears are going to be in it.
I just don't think anybody cares. You're never going to get what he's looking for here. You're not going to match the Champions League final. Football is not a global sport. It's just not. You want it to be, but you're not there yet. You watch NFL Academy over there. They suck. They're bad at football. I'm sorry, guys, but like football's not catching on like you want it to.
But what ends up happening is I watch Bad Bunny. I've never seen football before in my life. I'm either there right before halftime, watching that last minute drive into halftime, and then Bad Bunny comes on, and then I say, oh, well, this was interesting.
And then you
continue watching for a couple more minutes.
And you have no idea what happened, and no one is any wiser because of it. You watch something in a language you don't speak. And a sport that you don't know rules
to. They do Spanish broadcasts.
I mean, I'm not talking about just Spanish. We're talking about the world here.
Like, yeah, but...
But they're broadcasting the Super Bowl in German and in Portuguese.
But those aren't the people who are turning on.
They're broadcasting the Super Bowl in Chinese and Russian.
It's just not... Like, you're not going to get the effect you're looking for by putting him in there.
I understand the move. I think the biggest
problem... I get it, but I just don't think it's going to work.
The biggest problem is Bad Bunny's music just sucks.
I don't fully disagree with that.
I say this as somebody.
I agree.
My family lives in Panama. My brother.
I agree. You're fine. Keep going.
My brother goes to a Spanish-speaking school in Panama. And
the root of the issue.
I've spent a lot of time in that country. I've spent over like probably 4 months of my life living in that country. And I've listened to some very good Spanish music.
Oh, yeah.
Some very good Spanish music. Bad Bunny is not one of them. Bad Bunny's music is some of the worst things to ever grace my ears.
I've tried to listen to it to understand the appeal. I don't really get it myself. You know, is Bad Bunny the like Spanish rap version of like America mumble rap?
Yeah. I think that's fair. Like,
would that be the criticism that you know Bad Bunny detractors have?
I don't know what the criticism is. Honestly, I always viewed him as like just Spanish Drake minus the good lyricism or good sounding songs. Or
you can miss me with the Drake lyricism. The talk is just.
I just don't know where we're going.
Yeah, I agree though. I listened to a handful of songs when it got announced. Yeah. Like, all right, you know, I've seen him on my TV a bunch. Did the WWE thing a fair many years ago. That was really cool. Not for me.
Like,
not for me.
Dude, like on his guitar at the park in Panama. Like that dude plays some great Spanish music. Bad Bunny.
Maybe it'll be good.
I mean, it's a TV show. Just like Saturday is a TV show. It's a TV show, and so why did they not get Julio Jones? Why did they not get James Spann? Why did they not get anybody with ties from Alabama? Well, let me tell you why they didn't get anybody from Alabama, and it makes perfect sense why we're getting Theo Vaughn, because at the end of this, look, I'm only watching this show for 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes, basically, every single week, but you're going to get from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., full-on Gump propaganda, full-on Alabama football, just straight to your veins, which is great. It's great. They're in Tuscaloosa. They're going to give you a cool story about Coach DeBoer. They're probably going to talk about his black hoodie. Mm-hmm. They might end up telling you about Ryan Williams' dinosaur. Like, it's going to be all kinds of things that are catered to you, the Alabama fan, for 3 hours, right? And it is essentially just made for TV. What's going to happen when the picks happen? They're going to talk about X game. They're going to talk about Y game. They're going to talk about Z game. Then they're going to get to Alabama Vanderbilt. Well, Desmond Howard doesn't have enough stones to talk to pick Vanderbilt. He's going to tease that Vanderbilt's going to be close, but he's going to pick Alabama. Nick Saban's picking Alabama. Pat McAfee gives you the goodness, gump, and gracious feel. How many times will Pat McAfee go, "Roll Tide," for the crowd to go, "Roll Tide," just right back to him? Like, it's going to be a lot. And Pat McAfee's going to be feeling himself. Pat's going to stand up on the stage and go, "Roll Tide." And everybody's going to love it. And you're going to be in the feels, right? So Pat gives you exactly what a guest picker that it has ties to Alabama gives you.
Plus, he's got no ties.
Plus, Nick Saban. Like, look, you watch this show every single week. Alabama has a celebrity guest picker every single week on this show in Nick Saban. And so you're going to have Desmond, who has no stones. He's going to pick Alabama. You're going to have Nick Saban, who's going to give you the coach speak, the X's and O's. This is what Bama needs to do to win. He's going to pick Alabama. There's probably going to be a segment with Nick and Miss Terry.
I saw that there is going to be.
Right. You're going to feel so great about marriage. You're going to look at your partner and think, oh, man, those are couples goals. And you're going to be all in the fields, right? Nick and Miss Terry. Mm-hmm. Pat's going to take Alabama. Kirk's going to take Alabama. So you have to give the crowd someone to boo.
Yeah.
Theo Vaughn is going to come out there, and he's going to rally him up. He's going to make jokes about how hot Diego Pavia's mom is and how much he wants to take her out. And he's going to be, well, Diego, he's going to make a bunch of silly jokes, and he's going to take Vanderbilt, giving the crowd someone to boo. And when the crowd has someone to boo, then Pat McAfee can rally him up. Yeah. Oh, Theo, I hope you get that date with his mom. Yeah, yeah. I hope you get the date with Diego's mom, but it won't be because Diego wins. And it's just made for TV. It's just a TV moment. And people online are just going meltdown mode. ESPN hates the Tide. ESPN hates Alabama. They hate us. Why? And it's like, they do not hate Alabama. Alabama is one of the premier brands that ESPN uses, let's be honest, uses, but it's a partnership here.
It's mutual.
And so you're going to get your Alabama propaganda every single week on the show with Nick Saban and Pat McAfee. You know, there's no telling what he's going to be on, but he's going to be on the Gump sauce, basically, and he's going to give you. And so you got to have somebody on the panel. Maybe Dez takes Vandy, maybe, just because Dez actually hates Alabama. I'll say that. But Kirk doesn't. Kirk loves it. Loves Crimson Tide. You've got Reese Davis, the alum, on the panel now. Reese plays pretty much to play pretty much straight man objectivity. I think he does a good job with that, but it's just for balance. It's just for entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so why didn't they get James Spann? Well, first off, it's a national TV show.
No one knows who he is. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Theo.
It's a national TV show. This is not just the Alabama pregame show, right? It is the pregame show for what games are we all excited about, Theo? It's the pregame show for those. It's the pregame show for scores. It's the pregame show for...
I saw that James Spann tweet.
Kentucky, Georgia at 11 a.m. is the pregame show for Iowa State, Cincinnati, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Purdue. It's the pregame show for Boston College, Pitt, North Carolina, Clemson. Like all of the, from coast to coast,
Dabo and Belichick.
Where are the good games
in the garbage?
Where are the good
toilet games? Bowl? Golly,
Penn State, UCLA, Texas, Florida, 2:30. It's a bad week. Boise State.
I haven't looked at it.
Boise State, Notre Dame. You got Washington, Maryland stands out a little.
Alabama's going to upset Northwestern, make the boost Alabama's resume.
Kent State, Oklahoma, gross.
Ooh. Man.
No wonder they came here. You've got Miami, Florida State at 6:30. Okay. There you go. I'm sure that's where Kirk
bought it. Florida State, right?
Yeah, Mississippi State, Texas A&M. In Mississippi State, can they keep it going? Kansas, UCF. It's a bad week. It's not a good week. Yeah, but it's a pregame show for all of these games. It's not just the Alabama pregame show. And then, well, why didn't they get Julio Jones? I bet you they asked him. I will bet a sizable amount of money
they asked someone who asked him.
Right. Right. Yeah. And in my just perception of Julio is that he doesn't really enjoy the spotlight.
I think you're correct.
And so it's like, well, what do we do? Well, we're not getting Julio. What are we going to do?
What's Joe Namath doing these days?
Right. And so you go through the panel. Pat, you're picking Bama, right? Yeah, I'm picking Bama. Nick, you're picking Bama, right? Yeah, I'm picking Bama. Kirk, you're picking Bama, right? Yeah. Dez, who are you picking? I don't know yet. We'll find out on Saturday. Well, shoot, we need somebody who's going to give us an opposite perspective and entertain the crowd. It's not just going to be some, you know, I mean, Jay Cutler would have been awesome. Earl Bennett would not
have been as entertaining.
But exactly. Theo Vaughn's going to come out and be like, Theo's going to talk about how good-looking the sorority girls are.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about, you know, how...
We all know exactly the jokes he's going to make on Saturday.
I think they'll be pretty funny, but...
I'm not a huge Theo Vaughn fan.
I mean, I made my point. It's a TV show.
Yes,
and you need to have it's professional wrestling. Yeah. And all the good guys are going to be picking Alabama. Yeah. You need a heel to rile up the crowd.
You are right. I'm just not a huge Theo Vaughn fan.
No. And in addition, like, at the end of the day, this game day. Yeah, it's in Tuscaloosa. It's not about Alabama. Alabama gets a game day every year.
Yeah.
This is the fourth game day they've had in my 3 years here. Probably Vanderbilt's first time ever involved on the show, right? This game day is about Vanderbilt. They are the story. So, you know, to have a guest picker with association there, to, you know, it's a remarkable season for this school.
They hate the Tide, Theo.
Should have any problem with this. And you know what? Julio will have 50 chances over the next 40 years to come on this show.
They'll turn them all down.
Yeah, probably.
You're completely right. That is not just about Mason. It's not an Alabama show, but also it's just there are so few people in the Alabama atmosphere. Whether it's alumni, former athletes, whatever it is, that match the same level of fame that a guy like Theo Vaughn has currently. You know, you listed off a couple of it's Julio Jones. Julio Jones doesn't like doing anything, so he's probably sitting at home. It's Joe Namath. I don't know what Joe. No one knows what Joe Namath is up to these days. He's probably also just sitting.
His
at home.
Last media appearance
was
didn't go so
not well. Great. Yeah. So, like, I mean, outside of those two, what, you know, Nick Saban's already on the panel. Yeah. So you're really running out of options here. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel to get these guys. You know, I get that some of these guys were really awesome when they were at Alabama. Not many of them went on to have the most illustrious NFL careers.
I mean, Mark Ingram's on the other show.
Yeah. Another one you can't get. He's on the other show. Like, it's just you run out of options quick.
I saw someone say Roll Tide Willie should have done it.
Oh my God. That would have
been. Didn't he put up his fan base for sale the other day?
I don't think people outside of Tuscaloosa realize that Roll Tide Willie isn't putting on an act. But, like, no, this is actually how he talks. Something that most people.
I met him one time and he couldn't form a sentence.
Yeah, there's hey,
he didn't.
Exactly.
That was it. It was Roll Tide. And I was like, I said, I'm Joe Gaither. Roll Tide, Willie.
What? Man just loves a tide.
I don't know what he's doing now. He is posting like himself and all those other.
I saw an edit of him, and it was like him in an Oklahoma and an Auburn jersey or something. It was like, who wants me? It's like, what?
Who wants me?
I think he's, you know, his 15 minutes of fame has begun to wear thin now.
Just don't know what else you would do. I mean, Channing Tatum, isn't he from Birmingham?
Yeah, Coleman, I think.
Good looking guy. But like at the
he's
end of the day.
He's in some big movie now, too. That maybe could have worked. I don't know. Do a little cross promotion.
At the end of the day, they're just trying to give you somebody to boo on Saturday. They do not hate the Tide. And they're trying somebody who can take it. Who can because Theo will realize that it's an act.
Should have just brought Johnny Manziel on there.
They should have.
But I mean, like, you know,
if they bring Johnny Manziel, they're throwing tomatoes. They're throwing oranges.
Maybe it's getting a little out of hand.
They're throwing stuff. Remember, I'm throwing things.
Look, as someone who's in the, you know, target demographic.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Theo Von funny, which I love Theo Von's jokes. I think he's awesome. Most people my age, like me, that I've talked about this with, are huge fans of the move.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, if I was 30 years older right now, I probably would not be a big Theo Von guy.
Yeah. Somebody who commented on my post, well, I guess I'm going to work in the yard on Saturday.
All right. They'll miss you.
You do that, sir.
Like, you're gonna show them. Yeah, no, I just,
All right. Von's a big draw for me.
Yeah, he's a big draw for a lot of people. That's exactly why they did it.
So we'll pay attention. We're going to be going over to talk to Stanford Steve and Reese Davis 10:15, 10:30 on the Bama Central YouTube channel. So you can check that out. That will be about the game, not about Theo Von. It'll be about the game.
Why they didn't get Julio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's turn our attention real quick to the voicemail machine. So here's how we're going to finish this up. We're going to go to the voicemail machine. I think I got two voicemails. We're going to dive right into keys to the game. We want to dive into three players to watch and pick this awful slate of games. So the picks may not last very long, but here we go on the voicemail machine. You guys can call at 205-462-7340 extension 800 with your reactions to the game on Saturday, to halftime show, halftime reactions, to post-game reactions. I do want to know what you think of the Crimson Tide's performance for Monday's show, but here's the voicemails we have in the tank.
Need to say that both Old Row Crimson Tide and myself are ready for Saturday so that someone can shove Diego Pavia in a locker. And if someone wants to hand me a mic in Bryant Denny Stadium, I will stand up and say it with my full chest. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
What? Mason, how about shoving Diego Pavia in a locker?
He'd probably fit. He's a little guy. I mean, I have confidence that LT Overton can make that happen, you know.
Theo, what do you think the temperature is going to be in the stadium? Not on the thermostat.
No, it'll be hostile. It'll be the most hostile crowd Vanderbilt has ever faced, I think.
If Alabama loses, are they going to throw trash on the field?
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't want to even fathom that.
We're gonna have a Tennessee Ole Miss or whatever it was situation on our hands where it's like, yeah, it's gonna unravel quickly.
It'll be a very
Denny dogs will be flying.
It'll be an interesting 3 days.
Burn that black hoodie. Yeah, Ty Simpson's taking a Gatorade bottle to the back of the head. You know, somebody's sending a pretzel at Kalen DeBoer. It's gonna get ugly.
Nice. So we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll keep going here.
What is up, guys? It is Dax again for the fourth time this week.
Four?
Yeah. It's been a busy week on a voicemail coming from me, and you're welcome for my beautiful takes. So, happy Football Friday. Prediction time. Like I said yesterday, no, Vandy's never had a team hate them as much as we do. I think we win handily. I think Ty Simpson's going to throw for around 300 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns. I think Jam is going to have a good, like, 60, 70 rushing yards, and he might catch, like, 40 yards worth of balls. Kevin Riley's probably going to get him around 40 rushing yards, maybe a couple passes to him as well. Ryan Williams, hopefully this boy got Julio's number and is starting to lock in because he needs to stop dropping balls. Jeremy and Isaiah are probably going to combine for about 150 yards, maybe like 170. I would love to see that. So I think we're going to score around 42. I think I got Bama at 42. Like I said, Kane Womack's probably going to be in his bag for this one. He's been studying Vandy since, you know, the loss last year. I think we are actually going to be able to contain this triple option style offense pretty well. Like, I think the defense might have the best game so far of the year for this one. I hope so. I really hope so. We're going to need it because Vandy rushing attack is, you know, not bad at all. But I think Damani is sort of getting the Bray Hubbard treatment. Not near as bad as Bray Hubbard got it, but Damani, he'll get it right. I know Damani will get it right. So I think I hope we can set the edge. losing Quay is a big one on that, but Yonze's going to be able to come in, and it looks like with these replacements that we're having, we didn't really drop that much production when Quay went out. So that's a really good sign. I think the defense is going to play lights out. I think Vandy's still probably going to run for about 150 yards, hopefully not 200, because that's not a good sign. I think they'll probably run for about 150 and pass for like another 150, maybe 200, maybe. But I'm giving Vandy 17, I think. So I think we're going to win handily at home. Bama 42, Vanderbilt 17. I will be at the game. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Dax on a voicemail machine and a lovely lady voice as well. So they didn't identify themselves, so we don't know who that is. But 42-17 for Dax. I'm going to read this ad, and then we'll jump right into the keys of the game and three players to watch. How about that? We want to remind everybody that this show is brought to you by Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance. You guys can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today on your home, your life, your auto insurance needs. It won't take very long on the phone at 205-758-3391. They'll give you the information that you need to save you some money, better local coverage. Call them today, 205-758-3391. Well, Thea Fernandez, you're our biggest guest today. Usually we let Katie Windham go first on three keys to the game. I want to know what your three keys for Alabama in this matchup are.
I think number one, you know, it starts with discipline on the offensive line. I think that is I'm still astounded by just how well they put that together against Georgia on the road. When you look at even the fact that, you know, you were having kind of pointless penalties in those ULM Wisconsin games when you should have been able to, you know, clean, easy matchup. So now I don't know. Can they keep that rolling against Vandy? Or will it be regression to the mean? I'm very intrigued there. Number two, shouldn't even have to be said. Establish the run. It's that simple, right? We talked about it so much. Can they do it against Georgia? Can they do it? And then all game struggling, end of the game when it matters, yeah, you're able to run out the clock. That's another one where your guess is as good as mine on whether or not the Crimson Tide will be able to do that. And then number three, those are my two big ones that I.
You don't have to have a third if you only have two keys.
Yeah, those are my two keys.
Master key. Honestly. You got two master keys.
I think those two things happen.
Clean play on the offensive line and establish the run.
There's not much else.
Pretty good recipe for success, I would think.
There we go, Mason Woods. Your keys to the game.
Oh, let's see. First, I'm going to say, I'd like to see Alabama start fast in this game and kind of strike early, get an early touchdown on the board, maybe put Vandy in a bit of a hole, get an early stop, and really put them in, or, you know, force them to play from behind and, you know, you yourself get to play from ahead, because as we have noted on the show before, I think it's when Alabama's at their best, when they're playing with a lead. So we're going to go with that first. Second, I want to see the defense get some pressure on Diego Pavia. Create some sacks, maybe. I understand he's a bit of slippery guy back there that's able to get out of pressure and make things happen outside of the pocket. But I think South Carolina was able to get to him. I think other teams this season have been able to get to him a couple times. So I'd like to see Alabama maybe get one or two sacks in this game. And let's see. I could go back to the offense, but I'm going to stick with the defense. I want to see a turnover. I think you got to win the turnover battle in this game.
That was a big one for me. Turnover battle was a big one for me. So we can keep it going. I love that. Mason Woods, start fast, strike early. Number two, defensive pressure on Pavia. And three, win the turnover battle. For me, it is you must tackle well. You must wrap up. You must bring your feet with you. You must bring your feet with you and wrap up. I don't want to see any of this. I'm throwing my shoulder into Pavia. So I'm throwing my shoulder into Cedric Alexander, because those jokers will just absorb the contact, stay on their feet, and rumble for another 3 or 4 yards. Yep. And so you must bring your feet and you must wrap up. So number one for me is tackling well. Can you tackle well? Will you tackle well? And I guess number two, in conjunction with this, is will you set the edge and play? Will you play on the perimeter? Will you play in space? Because Vanderbilt's going to put you in space, sideline to sideline, sideline to sideline, and they're going to ensure that they're testing all of your secondary, all of your edge players. Will your linebackers overrun something into the flat? And then, boom, we're cutting it right up underneath you. Will your secondary get off of blocks in the screen game? Get off of blocks in the option game? So, yes, for me, it's tackle well, number one. It's two, it's setting the edge and playing the perimeter. And number three, number three, it's just ending every drive. Yeah, ending every drive in the end zone. I mean, that's obvious. But, like, in ending every drive in positive field position, make Vandy go all the way down the field. So, like, we'll get into this with predictions, but I think Alabama's offense is going to rip Vanderbilt apart. I think they're going to just slice and dice. But at the same time, no need to press. Don't press. There's no – so we'll sum it up like that. Don't press on offense. Because I think that going into – I don't want to steal a turnover battle, but, like, if you are turning the ball over, if you're pressing on offense, penalties, pre-snap penalties, if you're pressing on offense, I'm trying to do too much. Oh, I'm trying to take that big play and I'm going to miss a pass. Ty's been great the last 3 weeks, but if you miss a downfield pass when it could have been an easy completion for a first down, don't press on offense. And I think that you will be A-okay in this game. So one, tackle well, two, play the perimeter, and three, don't press on offense for me.
I like the third one.
Yeah. There's no reason to.
Yeah, the opportunities will be there. You don't have to chase them.
There's no reason to. And this offense, Alabama's offense is so loaded that you're just going to do what you do. You'll be in the red zone soon. You'll get down there.
Yeah.
You get down there. All right, Theo, it's been a couple weeks since you've been on a Football Friday, but we usually transition from here to three players to watch. And since you are the guest, you get the first three selection. We'll end up with nine players. Don't burn my player. Don't take my picks.
Well, I remember I messed Mason.
No. That's okay. I like that because it makes us be creative and creative on the fly. So, Theo Fernandez, who are your three players to watch for the Crimson Tide this weekend against Vanderbilt Commodores?
Well, yeah, so my picks here aren't all that creative. They aren't all that deep.
That's okay.
Just because I think this is a pretty simple game for Alabama. We're starting with Ty. At the end of the day, like, if Ty Simpson plays football the way he has been, it's hard to see any team. It's hard to see any team
Tasman.
Alabama. And that another point, the Tasman campaign is starting to ramp up, right? It's Ty Simpson is
works
playing
out well.
Pretty good football. That's the national consensus. If he goes out and he torches this Vanderbilt defense, it becomes Ty Simpson will be in New York in December. It becomes Ty Simpson might be a top 10 NFL draft pick. This is where, at least I think, from what I've seen, we flip from look at this Alabama QB to, Ty Simpson is one of the best players in the country. So I'm starting with Ty. This is a huge game for him. Next, I'll go Wilkin. A week ago, we were talking about him losing the right tackle job, and then he comes out and has the best, grade in the country. So where do we stand with Wilkin for me? Can he keep it going? Is he going to be, Wilkin for me can lock down this right tackle spot for the next 2 years? Or do we, like I said,
bump him inside and play right guard?
I want to see him play guard.
Like, I don't know what we're going to see with Wilkin for me. And I think he's a huge guy to watch. And then third, in the wake of the Rousseau injury, Yanze Pierre is going to, he's going to be fascinating to watch. Look, this is a five-star, such a talented player. He's shown flashes. What can he do with a full-time job? We're going to find out tomorrow.
Love it. I love it. Theo Fernandez, three players to watch. Ty Simpson, Wilkin Formby, and Yanze Pierre. Mason Woods, what three players will you have your eye on in Bryant Denny Stadium tomorrow?
I'm going to start on the defense, and I'll start with Edrick Hill. I think Edrick Hill is going to get a lot more play in the first half, obviously, with the suspension of James Smith for the first half due to that garbage targeting call. But also, I think he just was playing well last week. I think you saw a lot of good things from him, and I think regardless of James Smith getting suspended here, he probably would have seen more opportunities in this game anyway, and I'm excited to see what he does with even more opportunities now. Let's see. Next, I think I will stick with the defense once again. I'm going to go to Demonte Jackson. I want to see if Demonte Jackson can set the edge as a cornerback. Is he scared to go in there and do his job on the outside and actually, you know, set the edge, or is he going to do what he did last week against Georgia and just kind of, I don't know, like dive at the blocker's legs and then act like he tried to make a tackle? Oh, you know, I don't know. I was really upset with the way that he played a lot of those opportunities against Georgia. So I want to see him maybe prove me wrong or, you know, confirm what I think about him. Unfortunately, we'll see. And third, we'll go to the offense. Oh man. There's a lot of players I could pick here, but I'm going to go with Jam Miller. You know, got a lot more play than I expected him to get against Georgia. Looked a lot healthier than I expected him to look against Georgia. And I think that will only continue this week. Alabama, we all know, can't run the ball right now, has struggled to run the ball all season. But you got a little bit of success against Georgia, I guess. And regardless of if you're straight up handing it off to him or not, I think Jeremy Miller's going to get a lot of opportunities in this game to make things happen with the ball in his hands. And I want to see what he does with them.
I love it. Mason Woods is taking Edric Hill, Demonte Jackson, and Jam Miller for his three players to watch. You're leaving me with three easy ones, guys. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Theo, for not burning my picks.
He didn't take any of mine either. Yeah. Like, those are my top three.
Which, I mean, I don't think your picks are bad. I didn't want to say that, but just...
This one worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going number one, Deonte Lawson.
I like it.
Buddy, eyes in the right place all the time. And you're going to have to get everybody else's eyes in the right place all the time. Because that's the key to the game. You go back to the very first, you know, my key, wrap up and tackle well, bring your feet. But you got to have your eyes in the right place. You got to read your keys and be disciplined. Deonte, it starts with you, and it starts with telling people on the other 10 where to keep their eyes. Hey, man, your read is this. My read is that. I'm on quarterback, you're on pitch man. Mm-hmm. Vice versa. You're on quarterback, I'm on pitch man. You hit that quarterback, I'm hitting the pitch man. You know, keep everybody disciplined. I think Deonte Lawson, this is a Deonte Lawson legacy game of sorts because of how poorly the inside linebackers played in this game last year. We all remember the Jihad Campbell gets shoved into the end zone low light from last season. Deonte, this is like, you know, we get a little bit of grace in that first week.
Yeah.
Bad knee. We're starting to come together. You're starting to your play is starting to improve through the last 3 weeks. This is a huge one for you. I think Deonte Lawson, get your eyes in the right place. Bring your feet and tackle. Be in the right gaps and keep everybody on the same page. Number two for me, we're still with the defense, is Bray Hubbard. I picked Bray last week, got himself a fumble. And I just think that while Alabama's defense has these question marks about the run game and run fits and just discipline, I think the Bray remains extremely important to come downhill. If Deontay's on quarterback and you're on pitch man, well, both of you go kill those sons of guns. Like, you got to be on your man. You've been doing it. You've really bounced back very, very well from the Florida State really debacle. But it's a week-to-week game, man. It's a week-to-week game. Yep. And I know you had that great game against Georgia, but if you go out here this week and Diego Pavia makes you look like a punk because he runs you over, or Cedric Alexander runs right by you, or something of the sort, if you're caught in no man's land because you're reading the wrong thing or your eyes are in the wrong place and Junior Cheryl goes over the top of you on a triple option that turns into a pass because you don't have your eyes in the right spot, then you're going to be back to being the zero. You are a hero right now. We want to see you continue to be a hero. Bray Hubbard is my number two pick. And number three, just to keep it mixed up, I really like the way that Isaiah Horton played last week. I was going to go Ryan Williams based off the drop and trying to get him back in the game and trying to maybe answer for his aunt and sledgehammer comments in the summer. But I think Isaiah Horton is a really big piece of this offense. And I think that you really want to see, I mean, Jeremy's going to get his. Yeah. Jeremy's going to get his. He's proven to be the most trustworthy player on the offense, maybe outside of Ty, but Isaiah Horton, if you can become a trustworthy player, then who cares if what Ryan's doing? I mean, of course, Ryan becomes just this X factor that, hey, if you got him, great. He's going to break your back. And yeah. if you don't, well, Isaiah Horton's right here, and we can count on him. So I'm going to go with Deontay Lawson, Bray Hubbard, and Isaiah Horton for my three players to watch.
I got one. Got to give one honorable mention.
Yeah, please.
Justin Hill. I will be watching for Justin Hill this weekend. Just see what he does.
Yeah.
I was impressed with what I saw against Georgia from him.
You got any honorable mentions, Theo? I don't want to cut you off. You don't have to.
No, I mean.
It's fine. I just want to leave the room open for you.
I'm always on QB Reese lookout. I remain probably the number one member.
I'll tell you what you're going to see this week.
What are we going to see?
Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. I think
human missile.
I think Dre Jr. And Zay Mincy are both going to be sneaky plays for players to watch. Much like in the Bray Hubbard category, those two guys I think will be getting out there, getting some playing time, and going to have to bring the wood. All right, guys, it's a bad week of football. We just kind of previewed it, but we need to make some picks. We'll go through these fairly quickly so we can try to sneak in here under the hour mark or right at the hour mark. We're going to start 11 a.m. on ABC, Kentucky, Georgia. Everybody taking Georgia, 20.5 point spread at home.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Iowa State is at Cincinnati. Who cares? Cincinnati's a 2.5 point home favorite against number 14, Iowa State.
There's something I don't know about Cincinnati.
Rocco Beck right there. Anybody taking Cincinnati at home favorite?
I don't know anything about them. No. But evidently, there's maybe something I should know about them.
No.
Give me Cincinnati.
The Bearcats. The Kelsey brothers.
I don't know. Somebody thinks they're going to win this game. There you go. So I'll roll with them.
The Kelsey brothers putting out Taylor Swift's album last night. All right. Horrible week. Penn State is a 24.5 point road favorite against UCLA.
It's going to sound like a Penn State home game in there.
We are Penn State. All right, 2:30 ESPN, number 9, Texas, goes to Florida. Does Steve Sarkisian get Billy Napier fired, Theo Fernandez?
No, I think Billy's going to hang on to his job a little longer, but I do also think look, Arch has obviously been underwhelming. Mm-hmm. I think this is the game where when we look back at the end of the year, because I do still think Arch will be a very good QB this season. This is where it turns around officially for him. Rolls through Florida, beats him by 35 points.
I disagree. I think
if they beat him by 35, he's not Billy's making it to
fired.
Monday.
Yeah, Billy's getting fired if he loses by 35. I think Billy keeps his job because Florida keeps his game close because Texas is not that good of a football team.
There we go. I'm taking Texas. Duh.
I'll take Texas, but it'll be ugly.
You scroll past one thing.
Go ahead.
I want to bring up real quick. Undefeated Louisville with Miller Moss, I think, knocks off Virginia.
Ooh.
I think the ACC is just going
to be thrown into chaos.
So Louisville at home, Miller Moss gets the win there.
About to be thrown. ACC chaos fear is on. Look, this is an ugly, ugly week. JMU, Georgia State, Kent State, Oklahoma. What a time for the John Materia injury. You can overcome that by playing Kent State.
Texas Tech, Houston's got some juice. Two undefeated Big 12 teams.
Juice to you at 6 o'clock. Pick it then. Texas Tech, 11.5 point favorite.
I mean, I'm really high on Texas Tech.
Guns up, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I think Morton's been a sensational QB to start the year, but Houston's turning some heads. I don't know if it'll
remain
that way.
Isn't that the Houston Claw? The Cougar? Don't they do
the? That. It's not like the Caleb Williams. Like,
bear down.
Let's see. Yeah, no, it's the Shocker. The Houston Claw is the Shocker. The Cougar Claw.
Interesting.
So there we go. Every day. So guns up versus the Shocker.
I thought Arizona State did like forks up or something.
Well, everybody. I mean, that's fun. That's right. Signs. Exactly. Gang signs.
Why doesn't Alabama have one?
Gang signs in the stadium. Yeah, we do the A. I guess maybe. No, we don't. We do not. Minnesota, Ohio State. Ohio State, 24-point favorite at home. Miami is on the road at Florida State. Come on, Seminoles. Please show me that you skipped Virginia prep for Miami prep and win this game. Miami's a 4.5-point road favorite. Number 3, Miami at 18, Florida State. Theo, will the Seminoles bounce back?
They will not. I think that Miami is... If I was doing power ratings, I'd have Miami number one.
I don't think I disagree with that.
They are the best team in the country. I think they're the team that if I had to bet on one team to win the championship right now, I'm going Miami. I think Florida State is going to look very, very underwhelming. And I think that Alabama, it will officially be labeled a bad loss.
No!
Alabama.
Ooh, I'm not going to go that far. I think Florida State will keep it close and it'll be competitive and Florida State will go on and still have a decent season, but I'm going to take Miami in this one. I am with you on, I think Miami's probably playing the best football of anybody right now. They have the most impressive team I think I've seen of anybody this season. However, I trust them to win a championship just because I don't trust Mario Cristobal to win a championship. Well, he's going to have to prove me wrong. But I do like this Miami football team. I think they go in and beat Florida State at home.
I'll say Carson looks like a changed man.
I was incorrect about Carson Beck. Another one. Joe was, you know, tried to steer me into the right direction with that one. I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid on Carson Beck, but he's looked dang good.
He's a real one. He just needed some actual receivers, not named Arian Smith last year. I'm taking Florida State just out of blind hope, honestly. But I do think that Miami might have the best offensive and defensive player when Carson Beck and Reuben Bain.
And I mean, maybe just the best offensive front and defensive front in general. Like, golly.
Will you join me in my Reuben Bain prayer circle for the Chicago Bears?
No, because he needs to be a Tennessee Titan.
6:30 on SEC Network. Mississippi State is at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, a big favorite. 16.5 points, Theo.
Well, I'll tell you what, I absolutely, without a doubt, I'm taking Mississippi State to cover, and I'm also going to take them to win this football game.
Woo-hoo.
I was astounded by their performance last week. And yeah, look, it's at home. But man, that team looks good. You know, no cowbells on the road, unfortunately, but I'm believing in this. I'm believing in this Bulldogs team, man. I am. They look so much different than the product we've seen on the field since the passing of Mike Leach. They look like they're playing with a newfound confidence. And Marcel Reed kind of struggled against Auburn. Not even kind of. I mean, they were not impressive at all. They were riding off good field position in the game because Auburn couldn't convert a single third down conversion. And I was not impressed at all by that team. And you know, is it possible that maybe their win over Notre Dame was simply just a win against a not very good Notre Dame team? I don't know yet, but I think we're gonna find out this week. And I think Mississippi State is gonna finally get themselves into the top 25 with this win over A&M.
Wow.
Yeah, this feels like kind of a gateway game for Mississippi State, where it's either gonna be, we took a really tough emotional loss at home last week and now we're gonna spiral down into a, you know, 5-5 or 5-7 season, whatever it's going to be for them, or they win this game and they go on to win 8-9, maybe 10 games this year. Who knows? Man, I have a hard time picking it against Texas A&M at home. I think I'm going to ride with Texas A&M in this one, but I do think Mississippi State will keep it close. But I'm worried that if they lose this one, they may start to spiral back to back. You know, you start 0-2 in the SEC, it snowballs quick.
Yeah, I'm going to be with you, Mason. I'm taking Texas A&M to win, but Mississippi State to cover.
Yeah, that's disrespectful line.
16.5. Come on.
Mississippi State's a good football team, at least up to this point in the season.
Absolutely.
We'll see what kind of fortitude they have.
All right. That's a terrible slate in college
football. Tulsa, Memphis?
Which one you want? Go ahead.
Give me Memphis. I know nothing about either of those teams.
Number 16, Vanderbilt, rolls into Tuscaloosa to take on number 10, Alabama. Oh. The first ranked matchup between these two teams since 1937.
Golly.
Alabama, a 10.5 point home favorite, 230 on ABC, 230 on BamaCentral.com. You can check out all the updates, really starting about 11:30, 12 o'clock. We're putting your boy Henry on live updates. So he gets locked into purgatory, locked into jail, basically, on live updates. 2:30, how we feeling? Theo Fernandez, will Pavio make him? I mean, first, I heard somebody say this. If Pavio beats Alabama, he'll be a legend in Vanderbilt. Pause. He already will be. He has made it to legend status for the Vanderbilt Commodore. It is Jay Cutler and Diego Pavia standing side by side on the legend sphere of the Vanderbilt Commodore football mountain.
He could lose every game for the rest of his career.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So what do you think, Theo? Give me your final thoughts and your prediction for this game. Vanderbilt is at Alabama.
Alabama's turned the corner, right? Everything's going in the right direction. Ty Simpson on the Heisman list. Feels like Alabama should have no problem getting out of this game. I'm taking Vanderbilt. I am taking the Vanderbilt Commodores I think that Diego Pavia brings a level of confidence that I don't think any opponent has ever had coming into play the Alabama Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa.
Not since 2010, Cam Newton.
That's sound reasoning.
He is an enigma. He is a show on his own. You go back to the summer at Media Day. We talked about, oh, Diego, don't you think you guys are blowing your advantage by, you know, all this talking and not being under the radar? Texas doesn't have to be under the radar. Georgia doesn't. Alabama doesn't. They are not under the radar. They are entering this game as a real threat. And I think we're going to see one of the biggest moments. It's one of the coolest moments that we have seen in college football over the last decade. It'd with Pavia walking into Bryant Denny.
Good narrative. I'll give you that.
Knocking down the Crimson Tide. Now, he'll need some help. And I think he'll get it in the form of undisciplined O-line play. In the form of, you know, I don't think Ty will be the problem, but I think he's due to throw a pick finally. You know, he had that dropped one. And, you know, look, the front seven for, you know, as much of it as it had its moments against Georgia, a unit that struggled this year. It's a unit that I think will struggle with this option at times. And I think Pavia, when it matters, when he has to step in and make those big throws, I absolutely trust him to deliver. Give me the Commodores.
Oh man, there's a lot of good reasoning there. It's a lot of good points. A lot of sound logic in that pick there. I will be taking Alabama in this game, and I think I will be taking Alabama by not a particularly close margin. You kind of said it right there, Theo. Vandy does not have to go under the radar. Vandy isn't under the radar anymore, and that's their biggest problem. Everyone knows Vanderbilt's good now. They're not going to catch you off guard anymore like they did last year. Alabama did not go into that game thinking Vanderbilt had a chance to win it. They just didn't. It was very evident by the way they played. This year, they know they're playing a 5-0 football team. That's what, number 16 right now? Yeah, they know they're playing one of the better teams in the country. They know all about Diego Pavia. They've heard everything he said. They're not going to be caught off guard by this Vanderbilt football team. Man, I do trust Diego Pavia to make plays when he needs to. I just think that if Alabama, you know, I don't trust Vanderbilt's defense to have enough answers for Alabama's offense. So I think Bama can put them in a hole early, and then, you know, it's not going to matter if Diego Pavia makes those plays or not. You're down 21. Give me the Tide. Tide to cover as well.
Yeah. Man, Theo, I admire your courage. I admire your courage and bravery. But
look, you almost talked me into it. I got to be honest.
I'm still riding with it. I'm gonna take Alabama, and I'm taking Alabama 34-21. So for all the gamblers, I think that you're going to end up covering right there.
What's
10.5. 10.5 or 11.5 depends on where you want to get it. But I think that you're going to end up getting a stop or three defensively. You're going to end up getting Vanderbilt in the long yardage situation, and it's going to be on their own end of the field. Like last year, they were in long yardage situation. They got to 4th-and-1 at midfield and decided to go for it because they let them hang right there at midfield and threw a big old touchdown pass. I think this defense is better than last year in some ways, and I think that the offense is light years better than last year. You turned the ball over twice last year in Nashville. Even if you have the tie pick, I think the defense is going to pick you up. Yeah, he is due. I mean, you're one of two teams in college football that doesn't have a turnover. That's a terrible statistic to have. Like, it's a great statistic.
I need him to just get the one out of his system.
The math is going to come back the other way.
You got to throw the one.
The math is going to come back the other way and get you.
Get your taste of it, and then let's ride.
But I'm taking Alabama 34-21. I think we are going to walk away still feeling probably like, dang, Kane, the defense could have been better. The defense got a couple of times, those couple long drives. But I think we're going to continue to walk away thinking, man, that Alabama offense is something serious. And I think they are serious. So I'm going to take Alabama 34-21. Anybody else want to get any takes out before we can say goodbye? 3-2-1, 3-2-1.
You know, I'm looking at the rest of this Vanderbilt schedule. And, you know, they obviously, if we're picking them, say we pick them to lose this game. They do lose this game.
They got a tough month.
Brutal stretch ahead of them. Like, this is a good football team, and they could wind up being a 4-5 loss team, but I still think they're a good football team.
But is there anything that any SEC team is going to play over the next month that isn't a brutal stretch?
Not many.
I mean,
Texas probably. I'm sure Texas has an easy schedule, as they usually do.
I mean, you look at Vanderbilt, like, they have back-to-back Auburn and Kentucky at home. That's an easy stretch. That's a very easy stretch by SEC standards as far as two games goes.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Auburn's not an easy opponent.
For Pavia.
Unbeaten for Pavia. All right, fellas, we got to get out of here. I'm going over to campus to talk to Reese Davis and Stanford Steve to hear what they have to say about this game. We appreciate everybody watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. Tell a friend about the show. Our numbers are going up, 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 so I know a lot of you are telling your friends about the show. We really, really appreciate it so, so much. We're going to talk to you on Monday. Theo is going to be either right or wrong on Monday. Oh, Theo, Henry says he's crashing Monday, so bring your boxing gloves. Your UFC gloves, whatever. Tape the wrists up.
I don't need anything. He's gone through this table, man.
We'll see you on Monday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.